It's Tuned To Yesterday, delivering shows from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Welcome to an hour of mystery. Later on, we'll hear It's a Crime, Mr. Collins, from 1956. But right now, one of the eight or so remaining broadcasts of the American version of The Fat Man. Broadcast on ABC from 1946 through 1950, we hear the second surviving broadcast called The Black Angel from November 26, 1946.
Weight, 237 pounds. Fortune, danger. Who is it?
The Fat Man.
American Broadcasting Company brings you the adventures of Dashiell Hammett's latest and most fascinating character, the Fat Man, a fast-moving criminologist who tips the scales at 237 pounds. Tonight's adventure, The Black Angel. And now, here is the Fat Man.
A fat man is not supposed to have the physical endurance and staying power of the thinner, leaner boys. When he lugs that extra weight around, he loses his wind quicker and his muscles tire faster. If you've ever made a forced march with 50 or 60 pounds of equipment on your back, you know what I mean about a fat man's extra weight. But quick thinking will save a tremendous amount of energy. And a fat man has to save his energy in my business because you need every bit of it when you're fighting with a murderer. It's funny how much you can tell about a person at a glance, especially if you trained yourself to take in everything. I liked this guy the minute he walked in my office, and I felt sorry for him. I liked him because his eyes were honest and intelligent. He was in his late 30s, nice looking without being handsome. His conservative, well-made clothes told me he had a commuter's ticket in his pocket and a growing bank account he'd earned himself. I felt sorry for him as he stood in front of my desk because I'd seen the same expression on the face of a soldier in Belgium when his wife wrote him she wanted a divorce. He didn't waste any time, and I knew he was telling the truth.
Mr. Runyon, my name is Atchison, John Atchison.
Sit down, Mr. Atchison.
Oh, thanks. I hope you'll understand.
I always try to. What's the trouble?
I don't like this sort of thing. I don't like anything sneaky or underhanded, but there's nothing else I can do. I can't stand it any longer. It's driving me crazy. I can't sleep. I can't eat. I walked around the block four times before I could make myself come in.
Wife trouble?
Why, yes. How did you know?
There are a lot of wives and a lot of husbands. You'd be surprised how many of them come in here.
Yes, I suppose so. I suppose it's an old story. I guess I'm a fool, but I never thought it could happen to me.
Another man?
Well, I'm not sure. Don't you see? That's the trouble. I'm not sure. I know there's something, somebody, but I've got to find out the truth. I've got to know before I lose my mind.
Have you asked your wife about it?
Oh, no, of course not. Don't you understand? I love Peggy. I love her more than anything in the world, and I've always trusted her. If I were wrong, I could never forgive myself.
Well, I understand. You want me to find out who this guy is and what's going on?
Yes. I simply want to know the truth.
Maybe hard to take.
I can take it.
Okay, Atchison. Now, tell me why you're suspicious. What's happened?
It started only 3 days ago. I came home early. Peggy was talking on the telephone, and she didn't hear me come in. I heard her say, but Angel, John mustn't know. I was stunned. I couldn't believe my ears. And then she said, All right. I'll meet you in the same place at 9 tonight.
Did she know you'd hurt her?
Oh, no. I waited a few minutes, then walked in. She seemed flustered and surprised that I was home early, but said nothing about the phone call. That night, she said she was going to see her girlfriend.
You didn't try to follow her?
Oh, no, no. I couldn't bring myself to that. Besides, I kept hoping that I'd been mistaken, that maybe she hadn't said that at all.
Never had any reason to suspect her before, eh?
Never.
It's just possible, Atchison, that what you heard her say on the phone might have had a different meaning from what you suspect.
Oh, but how could it?
How long have you been married?
Not quite a year.
What do you know about your wife's past?
Why, actually, I know very little about her past life. I never questioned her. She has no family, and...
Where'd you meet her?
Oh, she was the cashier in one of those dance halls, a place called the Tropical Gardens. I know what you're thinking, Runyon, but you're wrong. I used to be lonely, and, well, I went there sometimes. She wasn't like the others. We fell in love and got married.
You know, it might not be another man at all, Atchison. It might be something worse.
What?
Blackmail.
Blackmail? That might explain the $300 that's missing from our savings account.
Say, you fat men sure know how to dance, don't you?
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing you here in the gardens before. You're a new one, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You aren't very talkative, are you?
Not usually. Are you?
What do you mean by that? Of course I like to talk.
Well, that's swell. Maybe you can tell me something.
What?
Do you remember a girl named Peggy that used to work here? She was a cashier.
Sure I remember Peggy. Why?
Well, I'm trying to find her. I thought maybe somebody here could tell me something about her.
Hey, wait a minute, mister. Who are you trying to kid?
Nobody, sweetheart. I'm related to her. The folks think something has happened to her. I thought maybe I could find out who her friends were when she were here or if she'd had any trouble.
Boy, you kill me.
Yeah?
Yeah, you never saw Peg in your life.
What makes you think so?
Because she's sitting right over there at that table in the corner.
Oh, the girl sitting alone?
Yeah, that's Peg. There was a guy with her a minute ago, but he ain't there now. Say, what's your racket anyway?
I'm a Hollywood talent scout, sister. Here, buy yourself a new mink coat.
A talent scout?
Hello, Peggy.
What?
Don't you remember me?
Why, no. I used to meet so many men here.
Well, you didn't meet me here.
Where did I meet you?
I'm a friend of John's.
John's?
Yeah. Mind if I sit down?
Please. He'll be right back in a minute and...
Who's he?
Listen, I don't know your name, but if you're a friend of John's, you'll forget you saw me here tonight and you'll never, never tell him.
Why? Because what a husband doesn't know won't hurt him?
No. You don't understand, and I can't explain.
Are you in trouble?
Yes.
Maybe I can help you.
No, I don't think so. I don't think anyone can help me.
Well, tell me about it.
No. Not now, not here.
Where then?
Meet me tomorrow at the Primrose Bar at 1:00.
Okay, honey, but be there. If you don't show up, I'm going to have a talk with your husband.
I'll be there. But please, please, John mustn't know anything about this. He mustn't know anything at all.
Why not?
Because if he found out, he might be murdered.
Runyon?
Yeah.
Pleased to meet you, Runyon. I've heard about you. My name's Caldwell. I'm an operative from San Francisco. Maybe you've heard of me.
Not that I recall, but there's something familiar about you.
I had a bad break not long ago. I did my job too well and got my mug plastered all over a lot of newspapers. Maybe you saw my picture.
Maybe. Could be that.
It's hurt my work a lot. Too many people know me.
Fame does have its drawbacks.
Yeah.
You're a long way from home, Caldwell.
That's why I came to see you, Runyon.
Oh? Here on a job?
That's right. I've got no connections here, and I might need a little help. I thought maybe you'd like to give it to me. There might be a lot of dough in it for you.
How much is a lot?
Say, $5,000.
That is a lot of money, Caldwell.
Yeah, for $5,000, a man is a sucker to ask too many questions.
You know, that's a funny thing, Caldwell. That's exactly what I think.
We're gonna get along swell.
Sure. Now, tell me about the job.
Well, about a couple of weeks ago, a guy comes into my office and makes me a proposition. It seems a pal of his disappeared with $100,000 in cash, and half of it belonged to my client. He wanted me to find his pal.
Where did the $100,000 come from?
I don't know, but let's just say it was dropped by a careless bank messenger, and these two guys found it lying in the street.
Finders keepers, hmm?
Yeah.
And now you want to shed the client and do a little finders keepers on your own?
That's the general idea. After all, the dough doesn't belong to either of them. The client's out on the coast. The climate here doesn't agree with them.
You found this client's pal, the guy with the dough?
I found him. He's here in town, registered in a hotel under a phony name.
And the money, you think he's got it with him?
I think he's got it hidden somewhere in his hotel room.
Where do I come in? And why, if there's $100,000 in it, do I only get $5,000?
A minute ago, that was a lot of money.
That was a minute ago.
It's still enough for what I want you to do. I'll do the tough part.
What's the easy part?
All you do is get this guy out of the hotel and keep him out until I can give the room a good going over and get the dough.
Ooh, that does sound easy.
It's a cinch. Once I get the money out of the room, we're safe. He can't go to the police.
What about your client?
Don't worry about him.
Well, how do I know you won't cross me up?
You don't know it. You just have to trust me.
I don't like it.
It'd be a sap to pass up such an easy $5,000. I won't cross you. Well, how about it? Is it a deal?
Okay. Count me in.
That's better. Meet me at 8 o'clock tonight at the corner of 50th and 8th Avenue.
What's the guy's name and what hotel's he in?
Do I look like a sap? I'll tell you at 8 tonight.
Okay.
I'll see you at 8 then.
Yeah. Hello?
Hello, Brad. This is O'Hara.
Yeah? What's on your mind?
Listen, Brad. You remember a gang of bank robbers operating in the Middle West a couple of years ago, led by a guy named Angel Black?
Yeah. I remember something about it. Didn't the papers call him the Black Angel?
That's right. If you remember, he was caught and sent up for life. But one member of the gang, a fellow called Snyder, was never pulled in, and the loot from a couple of bank jobs was never found.
Hey, wait a minute, O'Hara. What about this guy, Angel Black?
Well, he escaped from prison about a week ago, and we just got a tip he's somewhere in this vicinity. I want you to keep your eyes open for him.
What's he look like?
Well, he's short, heavy set, jet black hair, and I
It's not black anymore, O'Hara. It's red. And he's wearing a red mustache.
What are you talking about? How do you know?
He just left my office about 2 minutes ago. You're late.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry, but I had to be careful. I was afraid I might be followed.
Your husband?
No. The man I was with last night. You saw him, didn't you? He has red hair and a red mustache.
No, not last night.
But I don't understand. He saw you at my table. When you left, he walked after you. Didn't he speak to you?
No. But two and two are rapidly making four.
What do you mean?
I think your friend followed me home last night. How did you get mixed up with Angel Black, Mrs. Atchison?
You know him? You know who he is?
Yeah.
But how?
Never mind that.
No, you've got to tell me. How did you know it was the Angel? Don't you see? He's desperate. He
came to see me this morning.
What did he say? What did he want?
Made me a proposition.
Oh, you shouldn't have sat at my table last night. Don't you understand? It's a trap. He'll kill you. He'll kill John, too. That's why John mustn't know.
You still haven't told me where you come in on this business.
I used to know the guy. I was his girl. We were going to be married.
Were you one of his gang?
No. At least I never knowingly was. I didn't know the truth about him. When I found out, it was too late. He made me go with him when things got too hot. They finally got him and sent him up. I came here and got a job in the tropical gardens.
How did Angel find you?
I don't know. It was 4 nights ago. I'd gone down to the drugstore for something and was walking home. The street was dark and deserted.
Hello, Peg.
What? Who are you?
Don't you recognize me, Peggy?
Angel.
Yeah? Who else? Let me look at you.
But, Angel, you... How did you get...
Never mind that, baby. I'm out, and I've come back for
no,
you.
No, no, Angel, don't, please.
For 2 years, I've been waiting for this.
Let go of me.
Hey, wait a minute. What's the idea?
No, Angel. Please, don't you understand? I'm married now. I'm happy. I've tried to forget all that.
You're not forgetting anything, baby. You're leaving with me. They won't get me again. Listen, Peg, I know where the money is.
Money?
Yeah, 100 grand. They never found it because that rat Snyder got away with it, but I found him. He's registered here in the city at the Gilroy Hotel under the name of Cooley. He's got the money with him in cash.
How do you know?
Word gets around, even in jail.
But the police, they'll find you.
Oh, no, they won't. That's where you're going to help me.
No. No, I told you that's all over.
Listen, and get this straight. If you like this guy you're married to, you'd better do what I say.
You wouldn't.
Wouldn't I? Now then, I need some dough to get some clothes and dye my hair. You're going to give it to me.
But...
if you want your husband to keep his health, you'll have it for me tomorrow. And don't try any funny business or you'll get it too.
All right, I'll get you some money, but afterwards...
Afterwards, you're coming with me. After I knock off Snyder and get the dough.
Kill?
Yeah. And anybody else who gets in my way. Don't you forget it.
Next day, I gave him $300. And then last night, he insisted I meet him again. What can I do? What if John finds out?
Just sit tight and play along with Angel. Agree with anything he says. Personally, I don't think you'll hear from him again.
Why not?
Because tonight he's planning to kill Snyder, get the money, and then kill me. Well, this is it, O'Hara. Hotel Gilroy.
Yeah, cheesy-looking dump, isn't it?
Yeah. Nevertheless, let's go in. Hey, clerk. What room is Mr. Cooley in?
510, top floor.
Is he in now?
How should I know?
Is his key in the box?
No. I guess he's in.
Come over here closer.
Yeah, what's the matter?
Look.
Oh, please.
That's right.
Listen, this is a respectable hotel. We don't want no trouble.
Neither do we. Give us the passkey.
Oh, okay. Here.
There may be some shooting upstairs. Keep everybody off the fifth floor till we come down.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Say, what's this guy Cooley done?
Never mind. Come on, O'Hara.
Right. Five. What time is it, Brad?
3:10.
The other one was to meet you at 8 tonight?
Mm-hmm.
5 hours from now.
Well, here we are. 5:10. It's down this way. Get out your gun.
Don't worry.
Here it is. Easy now.
He's not in.
I don't know. Wait a second. Open up, Cooley. If you don't, we're coming in shooting. Come on.
Brad, look.
No wonder he didn't answer.
What a mess.
See if it's Cooley.
Yeah. The back of his head smashed like an egg. So Angel got here first after all.
Maybe it wasn't Angel.
Of course it was. Look at this room. He really tore it apart.
Looking for the money. I wonder if he found it.
He must have. Not much money in cash would be hard to hide. And what are you going through his pockets for?
I'm looking for the key to this room. Hasn't got it on him. I wonder...
What?
Listen, O'Hara. I want you to do something, and I don't want you to ask any questions.
What is it, Brad?
Forget that we've been here.
Forget it? Are you nuts?
You've got to forget it. Only for the time being, though. I've got a hunch this business isn't over yet.
But I can't do that.
Sure you can. I'm going to lock this door and give the passkey back to the clerk downstairs. As far as he's concerned, Cooley wasn't here.
But what about the maid?
It's too late for the maid. Nobody will find this body until tomorrow morning. That is, nobody who'll care to report it. Quick, O'Hara. Over here in this doorway.
You're crazy to try and pull this alone, Brad. I shouldn't let you do it.
Now, take it easy. I know what I'm doing. Angel's no fool, and he can spot cops a mile away. If you had men planted near me, he'd never make his play. This way, I can get him for you alive.
But you said yourself he was gunning for you.
Not the way you think, O'Hara. That's why I wanted you to keep quiet about Snyder's murder.
I don't get it.
I think he's going to try and frame Snyder's murder on me.
On you?
Sure. Don't you see? It'd be a cinch. That is, it would have been if we hadn't already found the body. As long as he thinks I'm a dumb dick trying to pick up an easy $5,000, he can't miss.
Why?
He'll meet me, send me up to the room, supposedly to get Snyder out. Then he'll tip the police.
Oh, I get it.
Sure, they'd catch me there red-handed.
Yeah, but suppose the girl tips him off that you know who he is.
That's a chance I've got to take. For the time being, I'm betting she's on the level. Everything ought to go okay, unless...
Unless what?
Unless Angel didn't kill Snyder.
But you don't think...
It's a possibility. Okay, O'Hara, it's nearly 8. Stay here in this doorway. I'm going to walk down there now and meet Angel. Don't show yourself. But if we start walking, follow us and be sure he doesn't spot you.
Okay, Brad, but be careful.
Hello, Runyon.
Hey, you're right on time.
There's an alley over here. Let's walk down there.
Why the alley?
We can talk better there.
Okay. What's the deal?
You got a gun on you?
Yeah, why?
I just wondered. You might need it.
I don't like guns. That wasn't in the deal.
I know, but this Cooley's a tough baby.
Cooley?
Yeah, that's his name. Now listen. Here's what I want you to do. He's living on a little cheap hotel, the Gilroy. It's on Clover Street. His room is 510.
How do you know if he'll be there?
I don't know for sure, but he never goes out. That's why I needed help on a deal, to get him out of the room.
Oh, I get it.
You go over there and bust in his room. Got a pass key?
Sure.
Good. Don't knock. Just go right in. Act tough. Tell him you're the house, Dick, that the manager wants to talk to him about his bill or something. When you get him downstairs, call him Mr. Jones. He'll say that isn't his name. You've made a mistake. Apologize and insist on buying him a drink.
It sounds simple enough, doesn't it?
Sure. In the meantime,
no, Angel! Stop!
Somebody's coming.
No! No! You
killed
him!
You fool, he isn't dead. I slugged him. What's the idea of following me?
Run!
Come on, it's a trap!
That's why!
Come on!
Stop!
Brad, are you all right?
Yeah, I think so. He slugged me when the girl...
Yeah, I saw her run down here. She must be in it with him. She came to warn him.
Yeah, they get away?
Yeah.
Come on.
Where are we going?
Back to the Gilroy Hotel.
Why?
Because I think the $100,000 is still hidden somewhere in Snyder's room.
What makes you think the killer didn't find the money?
Two things, O'Hara. In the first place, the key to the room is missing. The murderer kept it so he could get back in the room later. After the murder had been discovered and the body had been removed.
Well, what's the other reason?
The fact that Angel was so anxious to frame the murder on me. If he'd gotten the money, he wouldn't have bothered with me.
But he came to you before he killed Snyder.
Yeah, but when he first came to me, I think he was planning to kill me in the alley.
But why?
Because he'd seen me talking to the girl the night before, and he knew I was a detective. Later, when he couldn't find the money, that he decided to frame me for Snyder's murder.
Yeah, but where is the money? The place had been torn apart. It wasn't in the room.
That's what I mean, O'Hara. Well, here we are.
All right.
Come on.
Hey, I wonder what's the matter. All the people running toward the side of the hotel.
I don't know. Oh, here comes the room clerk. What's the matter back there?
Oh, and 510 just jumped out the window. Say, aren't you
the
fix?
Quick, O'Hara.
Let's go here.
Stand back. Stand back. I'm from police headquarters.
Why, that's not Mr. Cooley.
No, it's Angel Black, and he's dead.
that could have happened. Mr. Cooley murdered right in this room, and this red-headed man dead.
Never mind that. You say this red-headed guy came in with a girl about 15 minutes before you heard the crowd yelling outside?
Yeah, it may have been less than that.
And this other guy, the one who came in after them?
Well, he seemed nervous. He was nice-looking, about 35. He asked what room Mr. Cooley was in. I told him, and he went up. Several minutes later, I heard the noise outside and went out, and, well, you know the rest.
Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. Who was this third guy, Brad?
Must have been Atchison, the girl's husband.
What was he doing here?
No, he must have followed his wife, or Angel.
Oh, well, then it's plain enough to me, Brad.
Yeah?
Sure. Angel and the girl bump into Snyder's room. He finds the money. The girl's husband comes in. They have a fight, and Angel gets shoved out the window. The girl and her husband take the money and beat it during the confusion downstairs.
That's a good story, O'Hara. But that isn't what happened.
Well, the money's gone, and it wasn't on Angel when he was shoved out the window.
He wasn't shoved, O'Hara.
Are you trying to tell me he committed suicide?
No. It was an accident.
An accident? Are you nuts? The girl and her husband killed him for the money.
They couldn't have done that, O'Hara.
Why not?
Because the money is still where Cooley hid it.
Where?
Come over here by the window. Look, O'Hara, on that little ledge around the corner.
Well, I'll be... A briefcase.
Yeah. And it's got the money in it.
Then Angel must have been trying to reach it. You see, you can't reach it from here. You'd have to climb out onto the ledge.
Yeah.
He must have seen the briefcase and climbed out to get it. The girl saw her chance and shoved him over. We'd better get out an alarm to pull her in right away.
Now, hold it, O'Hara. The only thing that girl did was try to save her husband's life and happiness. She loved her husband, O'Hara.
But still, she must have shoved...
Look here. See how slick this ledge is? The guy slipped as he was reaching for the money.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right at that.
Sure I am. He was in a hurry, O'Hara, and he fell. And a black angel doesn't have wings.
Next week at this time, the American Broadcasting Company brings you another adventure of Dashiell Hammett's exciting new character, the Fat Man.
The Fat Man, on Tuned to Yesterday from November 26th, 1946 on ABC. You're listening to An Hour of Mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now from the Mutual Broadcasting System, it's an episode of It's a Crime, Mr. Collins. Starring Mandel Kramer, Richard Denning, and Gail Collins, this Mutual Broadcasting System episode called The Brown Alligator Briefcase from 1956.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins. What's all this about a double murder, Gail?
Well, Jack, I'm not so sure it wasn't a treble murder, but we'll settle for two.
How come?
Greg and I had been on a case in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
When it was over... having been brilliantly solved by my Greg, who was a dilly of a detective, we had an invitation from an old school chum of Greg's, John Field, president of International Steel. John invited us to drop by and tour his steel plant. Greg and I stood beside John as he led us past the huge boiling cauldrons of hot liquid steel.
You make quite a mean kettle of soup in those cauldrons, John.
Oh, it's mean, all right, Greg. Some of it's up to 3,000 degrees. Well, now, if you look at that catwalk crossing over your head toward the cauldrons...
What a view! Look at that catwalk way, way up. Greg!
What?
Greg, it's man up there!
Good heavens, he's falling into that cauldron of molten steel!
I'll never forget the sight of that man as he fell past the girders down toward the white, hot liquid... I would have passed out if Greg hadn't grabbed me and carried me outside. Sometime later, when I'd calmed down, we were going to John Field's office.
I'm sorry you've been so upset, Mrs. Collins. We'll skip the rest of the tour. Though I was hoping you'd feel well enough to take a quick look at our research lab.
Thank you, but I'd rather not.
You know who works in there, Greg? Leela Strong.
Not the Leela Strong. The belle of the old campus herself.
Exactly. She turned out to be a remarkable chemist. I put her in my lab last year.
Leela Strong, huh? Say, John, remember the night at college when Leela and I got accidentally locked in the gym?
Well, I never thought that was an accident, Greg.
Not if I know Greg it wasn't. Oh, you never told me about that, Greg.
He never told you about Leela Strong? Why, he and Leela were locked
Ever see anybody else in the old gang, John?
Well, it was the talk of the campus. She was a ravishing girl.
Go on.
Isn't it awfully hot in here?
Come on, Greg. Step into the research lab with me and say hello to Leela. Well, she'll be so glad to see you.
I'd like to take a look at her myself.
Well, some other time, maybe.
Oh, let's go, Mr. Field. Which way is the research lab? I've always been interested in research of various types.
Oh, it's right through that door down the hallway. Just follow me. Oh, just a second. Just stand right there. That's the warning buzzer. That means someone's coming out. We'll have to wait here a second. Let these men pass. Careful, just stand back.
What are those men carrying?
Grams of radium.
What in the world noise is that?
A Geiger counter.
Oh, I've never heard one. Detects radioactivity, doesn't it?
Yes, we have to be very careful in case there should be an attempt to steal some radium. I don't have to tell you it's worth a fortune. All right, fine. Well, this way to the lab, please. Well, there she is, Greg. Leela Strong.
Why, Greg Collins, darling.
Hello, Leela.
Where have you been all these years? You've got to give me a great big kiss for old Lang Syne. Just you come here to Leela.
Meet my wife, Gail.
I still haven't met anyone who sends me the way Greg... Your wife.
How do you do, Miss Strong? I'm always glad to meet an old friend of Greg's.
Hello, Mrs. Collins.
Well, why don't you show Greg and Gail around the lab, Leela?
Of course, John.
Leela!
Oh, hello, Jim.
Leela, I don't believe I've had the pleasure of meeting Mr. and Mrs. Collins.
Oh, yes. Greg and Mrs. Collins. This is Mr. Gordon.
How do you do?
Jim Gordon's head of my research lab, Greg.
It must be very exciting work, Mr. Gordon.
It is, Mr. Collins. Especially here at John's plant, where he gives us free rein.
John, I'm going to be the first to wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, Leela, dear. Oh, that's very sweet.
Oh, is it your birthday, Mr. Field?
Well, yes. Well,
happy birthday, John.
Thanks. And if you two don't join the rest of us at my house for a party tonight, I'll never speak to you again.
Oh, we'd love to.
I'm not waiting for the party to give you my present, either. I'm going to be the first at that, too. Here.
Oh, Leela. What a beautiful fountain pen.
It makes my present for John look sick.
Don't be silly, Jim. It's nothing, really.
Leela, why don't you and Jim close up the lab and come over to my house right now with Greg and Gail? I'll mix my usual perfect cocktails.
Oh, no, I couldn't do that, John. I couldn't go now. I have too much work to do. You run along. I'll meet you there later.
Oh, you sure?
Yes, absolutely. You go along with Greg and Mrs. Collins. I can't go now.
All right, Leela. You don't have to get so upset about it, dear. Well, Jim, well, how about you? You can come with us now, can't you?
I'm right behind you, John.
No, Jim.
What's the matter, Leela? You feel all right?
Yeah, I feel quite all right. It's just that I have something here in the lab I want you to look at, Jim. You can go with them later, can't you? You don't have to go now, do you?
Oh, it isn't a matter of life and death.
Don't go now, Jim. Stay here. I've got to talk to you.
All right, Leela. Just don't excite yourself this way.
I'm not excited.
Come on, Greg and Gail. We'll see these two later.
Bye, Greg. And Mrs. Collins.
So long, Leela. See you later.
So nice to have met you, Miss Strong.
Bye, all. We won't be late.
Well, here's the door, Greg. One of you men open the safety door.
Yeah, Mr. Field.
Your old flame may be a very glamorous-looking woman, Greg, but I'm afraid she's on the hysterical side.
Well, don't you know why?
Why? You got a theory?
Uh-huh. It's because she saw me again.
Oh, you conceited.
I always have that effect on her. No Geiger counter this time, eh, John?
No, Greg. After all, as president of this company, I'm not going to steal from myself. We just take ordinary, common-sense precaution.
But ordinary precautions don't seem to work, Mr. Field.
Why do you say that?
I was thinking of that man who fell from the catwalk and was killed. Come on, Greg, and Mrs. Collins. I want you to meet Dean Kempson.
Hello, Leela.
Dean Kempson, this is Greg and Gail Collins.
How do you do?
How do you do? Dean Kempson's head of the little college here in town. Have you heard of the Independence Institute of Technology?
It's a formidable name, Mr. Collins, but a very modest school.
Oh, excuse me. There's the birthday boy. I want to speak to him. John!
Oh, yes, Leela?
Would you do a favor for me? Could I have that fountain pen I gave you for your birthday? Would you give it back to me?
Give it back to you?
Well, it's really not the sort of present I wanted to give you, and you have half a dozen pens already.
Oh, but I like it, Leela. I don't expect you to spend a lot of money on a fancy present.
Please, John, give me the pen. I want to get something else for you.
Don't be silly. You gave it to me, and it's all over.
It was a darn good-looking pen.
Forget it, Leela.
Will you please give me back that pen?
No. Now, skip it, won't you?
John, give me that pen.
Oh, not on your life.
John, come back here.
Leela, why are you so hipped up
about... Let go of me, Greg. John, wait!
Leela's been rather nervous lately. Look at her, chasing after John up those stairs as though she were... playing cops and robbers.
She's determined to get that pen back. Oh, no, the reason why.
Now, don't be ridiculous, my dear. I told you I would want...
Greg! He's falling downstairs!
What?
Greg!
Yeah, let me see him.
Call a doctor, someone! Keep your ears pinned, friends. We'll be back in a minute with more of the story. A few seconds after falling down the stairs, John Field was dead. And Leela Strong, who'd pushed him down, became hysterical.
No, 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 it was an accident. Is he all right? Is he all right?
He's dead.
I didn't know what I was doing. I was angry. I pushed him. I didn't realize he was so close to the stairs. I didn't know. I didn't know.
Easy, Leela, easy. Look, I think Leela ought to rest for a while. She'll be all right if she is left alone.
You're right.
I didn't know.
We'll wait in the other room, Mr. Collins. Come on, Jim.
Right, Dean.
I'll help you to that couch.
Atta girl, Gail.
Well, I didn't know.
Now, if the rest of you will wait in the other room...
Come on. Let's go, Jim.
Certainly, Dean. Get her on that couch, Gail.
Oh, stand up, Leela. Now, lean on me. That's it.
You've got to believe me. I didn't kill him.
Lie back, Leela. That's better.
I'm going into the dining room. I saw a bottle of vodka there. I'll be right back, Gail. The phone's out here in the hall, too. It's convenient.
For what?
I'm going to phone the police.
Oh, no.
Oh, just try to control yourself, Leela. You won't help things acting this way.
I wouldn't hurt John. I just pushed him. I didn't know.
All right, Leela. Now, suppose you just... Oh. The lights. Who turned them out?
Greg, come here. Let me go. Let me go. Greg! Greg!
Gail! Gail! Where the devil is that light switch? That's better.
Oh, Greg. Someone turn out the lights.
Where'd you get that litter opener?
Oh, someone came into the room in the dark. I didn't know what was happening. I tried to grab them. I reached out and they shoved this letter opener into my hand.
Better put it down, Gail.
Oh, yes.
Wouldn't help much if anyone saw you with that letter opener. Take a look at Leela.
Leela? Why, she... Greg! Oh, Leela, what's happened? Greg! Is she...
Yes, Gail. She's been stabbed in the heart.
Oh, Greg! I touched the knife. My fingerprints are on the knife.
Steady, Gail. I better do a little bit of clue hunting before we let anybody in here. Women have more junk in their pocketbooks.
Say, isn't that the top of the pen that Leela gave to John Field?
Yeah. There's other fascinating little items in here.
What, for instance?
Letters. From Dean Kempson to Leela.
Dean Kempson? That little man with the glasses? Why, he's the most harmless, innocent... good letters?
Mm-hmm. But you're not going to read them. I'm censoring them right now.
Oh, let me see.
Go away. They're not for little girls.
Dean Kempson! Mr. Gordon!
Dean Kempson, I just wanted to ask you a question.
Yes, Mr. Collins.
Excuse us, Mr. Gordon.
Of course.
I found these letters in Leela's pocketbook, Dean. Were you going to buy them?
Me? Buy them?
You heard me.
Why, what are you talking about? Why should I want to buy any letters?
Shall I read them aloud?
No, no, please. All right, it is true. I did write those letters, and Leela was trying to force me to keep quiet about them. And I've tried to cover up because, well, I'm married, and I've worked for 10 years to get my job as dean at Independence, and any gossip, whatever it is, could have cost me that job. But I don't care now. I can't cover up anymore. We're all involved in a shocking, horrible murder. And now I certainly don't give a hoot what becomes of me.
Dean Kempson, if I were you, I'd try not to be quite so talkative.
You think I might implicate myself? Well, I made it up to my neck now anyway.
But I think we can save you a lot of embarrassment. Maybe even save your job.
How?
Go home. Right now. Everybody, you and Mr. Gordon, go home.
But, Greg, the police...
That's just the point. The police will be here any second now, and there's a chance, an outside chance, that we can wash this up without seeing all your pictures smeared across page one of the local tabloid.
But if we leave, the police will
I've handled policemen for a number of years, Mr. Gordon. Don't worry about what they'll think. Just go home while there's still time.
Well, you're a detective, Mr. Collins. I'll take your word for it. I'll do anything you say.
And so will I. I'll be at my home if you want me. You can depend on that.
What the dean said goes for me, too. I'm available anytime, Mr. Collins.
Greg, are you crazy?
Why, girl?
You've got a double murder on your hands. And two suspects, Dean Kempson and Jim Gordon, the research man. Do you question them? Do you hold them for the police? Oh, it looks as if we were in a picnic for the campfire girls, and everybody can go home.
I want them all at home, Gail. Each in his or her own home. And speaking of the subject, you're going home, too.
Lloyds will give you 100-1. You don't get me to go home.
Gail, go home.
Not in your life, with two murders to solve.
Gail, remember the time in Mexico City when I got mad and spanked the daylights out of you?
Call before you come home. I'll be waiting up for you.
Okay.
Very much upset, I went home. Greg swings quite a punch when he spanks. And last time we had that kind of a session, I couldn't sit down for a week. So I went home. Meanwhile, as I learned later, Greg was traipsing around, of all places, in a car with a friendly policeman.
Oh, I hope you know what the confounded bee-jeepers you're doing, Collins.
I think so, Sergeant.
Now, what did you say this gadget was?
A Geiger counter, Sergeant. Simple gadget.
Fine way to solve a murder. Riding around all night with a silly box sticking out the window.
This silly box, Sergeant, is one of the most important gadgets in the world. You see, it detects radiation. If there's any radioactivity near this Geiger counter, it starts to click.
So what?
It's an exercise in logic. Sergeant, what's happened on this case? John Field, the man who got the fountain pen, was killed. Leela Strong almost went mad trying to get the pen back. She got it. At least she got the top half of it. Then she was killed. Must be quite an extraordinary pen, eh, Sergeant?
Go on.
People wouldn't knock each other off for a pen, even if it could ride underwater. Now, why did Leela refuse to leave the research lab with me and John after she gave him the pen? And why did she refuse to allow Jim Gordon, the head of the lab, to go out? I'll tell you. Because no employee could get out of that lab without passing a Geiger counter. Radium is worth a fortune, you know. Thousands of dollars a gram. Just the sort of thing you'd conceal in a fountain pen if you were stealing it.
Oh, I get it now. This tomato Leela Strong decides to get about $100,000 worth of radium out of the lab, so she sticks it in a fountain pen and gives it to the president. Knowing that they wouldn't turn that gadget on when the boss walks through the door. Then she goes to the party and figures she'll get it back. She'll give him a fancier-looking birthday present, and she'll keep the radium. They have a battle. She shoves him down the stairs.
And I find the top of the pen in her pocketbook.
Meaning somebody's got the bottom half. With a fortune in radium inside. Dean Kempson or Jim Gordon?
That, Sergeant, is why we are taking this delightfully cool evening ride in the car with a Geiger counter. It can spot radium in a mile area. We're going to pass the home of each suspect. And when the counter starts to click...
That's where the radium is. That's the killer. Well, now that I've figured out the whole case, what are we waiting for?
Yes, Sergeant. Now that you've figured it out, what are we waiting for?
That's Jim Gordon's house right ahead of us, Collins. He's the head of the research lab.
All right, I'll turn on the Geiger counter. It's on. Now stop the car. If the Geiger counter clicks, he's our man.
Okay. Listen closely, Collins. Anything yet?
No. Drive on.
There's Dean Kempson's house. Listen closely, Collins.
Ah. Nothing doing.
I don't understand it. It's got to be one of the two.
Drive me home, Sergeant. Must be something wrong with the way I figured this out. But what the devil is it? Where did I go wrong?
Okay, Collins, there's your place. Oh, your wife's got the light on. I bet she's as sore as a pup. You leaving her home while you work out the case.
I haven't worked it out, Sergeant. There's something wrong.
Holy Aunt Hannah, you hear what I hear?
Yeah. The Geiger counter's clicking, but...
That means the killer's in your house, Collins. Now, don't tell me your wife took the radio.
Don't be ridiculous. Let's go in.
Hey, how do you like that gadget? Clicking like crazy. Boy, there's radium in that house of yours, Collins.
There's a killer in there, too. With Gail.
Oh, Greg.
You got here just in time, Collins. We were about to leave.
Well, if it ain't Mr. Gordon.
Sergeant Greg, thank heavens you're here. It's Jim Gordon. He's the one who stabbed Leela.
I think your husband realized that, Mrs. Collins.
Now, look, Gordon.
Careful, Mr. Collins. You're forgetting something.
You've got the other half of that pin, Gordon, with the radium in it.
That's just it. I have the radium with me. In a needle that was inside the pen.
Oh, my arm. Let go of my arm.
Mr. Collins, if you or that policeman take one step toward me, I'll put this needle into your wife's arm. I suppose I don't have to be more specific about what would happen if radium is directly injected into Mrs. Collins' arm.
Why, you no good...
I'm leaving now, Mr. Collins. And I'm taking your wife with me. Just to be sure my departure isn't interfered with. I'm taking her with me in my car. Of course, if there's any attempt to follow me, I'll be forced to use the radium needle. And I'm also carrying a gun.
You've got it all figured out nicely, Mr. Gordon. You've had a good scheme ever since that man fell into the cauldron of hot steel. Was that an accident, or was he wise to the fact that you were trying to steal radium from that lab of yours?
He overlooked a wrong conversation, let us say.
But it was Leela Strong who finally gave you the real opportunity. She had access to the radium. You must have known radium was missing. And so you went through the same logic I did. When she made a fuss about the pen, you realized Leela had the radium in it. So you stabbed her and stole it. But you were afraid Gail had noticed you in the dark, so you came here to make sure.
I'm afraid I haven't any more time, Mr. Collins. That is, we haven't. Your wife and I. My car's outside. Get moving, Mrs. Collins.
Let go of my arm.
Let him go, Sergeant. Don't try anything.
But Collins...
Let him go, I said.
Coming, Mrs. Collins. I'll drive down this road, Mrs. Collins, and we'll turn left and hit the highway. I must warn you again that if we're followed by a police car, I shall kill you instantly. But don't move, Mrs. Collins. I can see everything you do.
All I want to do is powder my nose, Mr. Gordon. That's a woman's privilege.
All right.
I don't see why you should worry about a girl's powdering her nose. I'll just...
My eyes! My eyes!
So sorry, Mr. Gordon. I'll just take that gun of yours and... Look out!
Gail.
Oh.
Gail, darling. Wake up, Gail.
Oh, Greg. Where...
You're in the hospital, darling.
Gordon. Jim Gordon. I blew the powder in his eyes.
It was very smart, darling. But you should have waited until you were at the stoplight. You bowled over a lamppost, an ice cream truck, and a fire hydrant.
What happened to Jim Gordon?
He's in the clink. And your picture's in the paper with a very fancy headline. Daring Girl Captures Radium Killer. It's a nice picture, too.
Do I look pretty?
Fair.
Prettier than our old flame, Leela Strong?
Maybe.
Greg, tell me the answer to the biggest mystery in this case.
Biggest mystery? What's that?
What happened when you and Leela were locked in the college gym all night?
That was before you and I were married.
I still want to know.
See the gorgeous flowers I brought you?
Stop stalling. I hate people that stall about a question and change the subject.
What happened with you and that airline pilot when you got caught in the rain in that Paris hotel?
Say, they are beautiful flowers, aren't they? Don't go away. In just a moment, we'll be back with you.
Well, folks, we hope you enjoyed our story. Be sure to visit us again next time for another Puzzle in Murder. For where there is crime and romance, there you'll find Mr.
and Mrs. Collins.
It's a Crime, Mr. Collins, on Tuned to Yesterday, a mutual broadcast from 1956, bringing to a close this hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.